this thing of June's, it is called now Nighthawks, and it's a sort of meditation on loneliness and solitude and what it means. And when we get her on the phone, we'll get her on the phone. We don't have her on the phone yet. June, if you're out there, call in. Call the station. huh? Okay. Don.
Yes.
It's Rick. How are you?
Hi, Rick. Great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for calling in. This we'll have Joan on in a little while to sort of detail what she's done. How did she come to you with this idea? It's kind of a collaborative production, is it not? You and the...
So I've known June for quite a few years.
Sure.
She was an excellent reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and
yep.
She did a lot of literary pieces, and then, she's written plays and nonfiction, and she's a really...
She's very... She's incredibly prolific, too. I mean, I'm looking at her... I had her send me her resume, and they're books that she's written. I know she's written a lot of books, but even I wrote the foreword to one of her books, a book called Chicago Portraits. She's unbelievably prolific. So when did she first mention this idea to you, Don?
Well, we were originally going to do it last year, and you know how that story ended.
Yes, I do.
So she came to me with it, probably, would have been 2019, and we put it on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
We had previously done one of her stage readings at the same venue at the Oak Park Brewing Company. That was a stage reading she did of an original script called The Movable Feast, based on Hemingway's memoir. And, of course, because it's in Oak Park, it's a good fit for Hemingway and a lot of the expats in, living in Paris at that time. When June approached me, she knows that from the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame standpoint, that the criteria is that it's got to be, centered on Chicago literature.
Sure, sure.
And so when she brought the idea for Nighthawks, it was another perfect fit because, it involves so much of... that piece of art has inspired so many different.
You know a lot about literature and stuff. There is some notion. I've never really seen it definitively proved, but that Edward Hopper was inspired in part by Hemingway's famous story, The Killers, which takes place in a diner, not unlike the diner featured in Nighthawks. Do you believe that?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I obviously didn't know Edward Hopper, and the scholars who have spent a lot more time on
sure.
it than I have can't come up with an absolute. But it makes sense.
Sure,
because,
it does.
The atmosphere in that painting is so much like the Hemingway story, which is really set in Stickley, right? The old Portsmouth Park town.
Yep.
A very similar kind of vibe to the setting, the loneliness there, the kind of intimacy.
Don't you also think June will be
all those things that you find in that Hemingway story, you find in the Hopper story.
I find in that painting a sense of doom or trouble that. It sort of hangs all over that Nighthawks painting. We're going to take a little break. Don, I'm glad you're here. June is on the line, but we'll bring her on right after this short commercial break, and we'll figure out what her inspiration from the painting was. Again, Don, what's the website for the Literary Hall of Fame? I think that, can people go there to buy tickets to this thing?
Yeah, well, they can get to the link to buy tickets from there. It's www.chicagoliterary.com. HOF.org.
Terrific. We'll be back in 3 minutes with Don Evans and June Sawyers. On August 1st at 6 p.m. at the Oak Park Brewery, there will be a wonderful literary event that mixes literature and art. It is June Sawyer's sort of adaptation or inspiration or June Sawyer's. What is this? What is? I'm on the phone with June and with Don Evans, who's helping. He's one of the head of the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame, and it's a sort of joint venture. What is this, June, please?
What is this?
Yes, what is this?
Rick, what is this?
What is
I'm
this?
Always asking that question.
I know.
well, it is a hybrid theater piece, so there's no story or narrative per se. I wanted to create something that was meant to establish a mood, in this case, the mood of solitude and loneliness, and that's why the subtitle is Notes Bent Blue, and a theatrical meditation on solitude and loneliness, which is, I think, the essence of what the painting conveys.
When did that painting, I mean, you must have seen that painting decades ago for the first time.
And I don't even remember when I saw it for the first time.
Has it forever haunted you in a way?
Yeah. It's always been there. I don't know when it started, but it's always been there. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so when you decide to put pen to paper or fingers to computer keyboard, what was there some kind of catalyst for it where you said,
yes, I think so. I think rereading my favorite, one of my favorite short story collections by Stuart Dybeck.
Sure.
The Coast of Chicago.
Yeah.
And Pet Milk, but also the whole series, the whole section of stories called Nighthawks. And I'm always looking for something to keep me out of trouble, something new to do. And since Nighthawks is my favorite American painting, I wanted to see if I could create something based on biographies of Edward Hopper, based on interviews of Edward Hopper. But I always want to include music in what I do, so I wanted to have music in it. So it'll be bookended by two songs. One begins with two Tom Waits songs.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be references. There are references to Miles Davis and Bruce Springsteen in it throughout. So it's a combination of all kinds of art forms, literature, visual arts.
Music.
And music, of course, yeah. Especially music, yeah.
How do you craft this thing? It must be. I'm serious, mm-hmm. It must be at one point kind of frustrating, but also kind of creatively fun for you, because there's a lot of freedom involved in saying, I'm going to use music. I'm going to use all these different elements of the arts to combine, to sort of give your...
Yeah, and I didn't mention film because one of the reasons I did a piece, September 2019, also at Oak Park, co-sponsored by the Hemingway Foundation on Ernest Hemingway and an adaptation of A Movable Feast. And I wanted something that also included Hemingway, and I thought, well, The Killers.
And
I knew that Hopper was influenced by The Killers.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
So that was the trigger. That was the catalyst.
So
really.
When do you feel confident enough in what you're putting together to call Don Evans and say, "Hey, Don, let's do a show together"?
Well, it took a while. We were supposed to do this last year,
as he said,
but because of the pandemic, but I wrote it. I guess 2019. But I've been tweaking it ever since.
Oh, I'm sure.
I tweaked it again last night.
I can only imagine. Don, have you seen much of this? I know you're a huge fan and admirer of June Sawyer's. So I'm assuming all she would have to say is, "Hey, Don, I've got a show. Can you help me get it mounted somewhere?" But have you seen it yet, Don? Or what do you know of it?
Is he there?
I don't know, Don. Are you there?
Did we lose him?
We could have. I can talk to you for a half hour.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. When did you first, did June just call you and say, "Hey, I have a show based on Nighthawks, and it combines Ernest Hemingway, and it combines Joyce Carol Oates, who's also, been inspired by that fabulous, it really is a great painting." When did she approach you with this, Don?
Yeah, well,
June and I
are in periodic conversation. We're friends.
Sure.
And she's got lots of things brewing at any one point.
True.
And we've had discussions about the various you know, ideas that she had to put, you know, into production. And we, you know, going back probably 3 years before we did the movable feast, you know, she had sort of a menu of different projects that she was considering doing. And the ones that were the best fit for the Chicago Lurie Hall of Fame were the ones that we talked about and discussed and so forth. And also, you know, I should mention that the other partner in this is the Ernest Hemingway Foundation of Oak Park.
Right.
And so when you bring Hemingway into, you know, those projects and, you know, we work with them a lot, and they're such a great organization and doing such good work, and, you know, doing it in Oak Park makes sense. So, you know, June, you know, when she approaches me, I know that we can do something really good together. It's just a matter of finding the right fit for all of us, and then also finding a calendar and a venue.
Now, June, the piece is being directed by J.R. Sullivan, who I know pretty well, and it stars Chicago actor Cy Osborne as Edward Hopper, and his wife, who's also a painter, Amy Montgomery, is his wife, Joe Hopper.
Joe Hopper, right.
Mm-hmm. Are those, they're obviously the two main characters. Are there other characters in this show?
What? Yeah, the four characters in the diner, but they also double. So Cy, for example, would play Edward Hopper, but also you know, the man in the diner, that kind of thing. Or Amy would play the woman in the diner in red, the woman in red, but also Joe Hopper. So that kind of thing. So there's doubling going on there. So yeah, but there's four main characters and a musician.
Have you done a reading yet?
No, this is the guinea pig on that Sunday night, August 1st.
August 1st, 6 o'clock. How big a venue is this? Because I know that, I mean, I think people should register as soon as possible. Tickets are only $20. But how big a venue?
Do you want to answer that question?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the capacity is 70.
Okay.
And it's an intimate crowd. One of the things I love about the work that June does with the Phantom Collective is, you know, this reminds me of Rick Uhrold, you know, column. It wasn't called Nighthawks. I'm blanking now. What was the name of your?
It's called After Hours. Column?
Yeah, it was called After Hours, and it was when I did it at the Sun Times before you two were even born. It featured a character called Dr. Nightlife, who was some kind of alter ego of mine, not quite. It's
that's exactly what I was thinking of, and you know, but what June does is she creates these. Great ensembles. The actors are world class, and the music, and then you pair that with a really good place, the kind of places that you're going to when you're a younger man, Rick, and you know, and
it, kind of places I dream of now, Don. Dream of.
And so it's an intimate crowd, 70 people, but it's also, you know, a very vibrant and electric kind of atmosphere. At least it was when we did the movable feast. Then people come there, they get some food, they drink, and you know, then there's this great show, and then you know, people are just there together. And so it's big enough that you know, most people that want to get a ticket will be able to get them, although I think at some point people will be unhappy they didn't do it sooner.
Yep.
But it's also small enough that people are going to socialize and not just
given that intimacy,
a captive audience.
Given the intimacy of that space and the sort of intimacy of the show itself, you know, I like to think that after the show is over, after the reading is over, that there will be some, you know, not a question and answer section, but a chance for the many people in the audience and the many people in the production, including you, June Sawyers, to discuss it.
Sure. Anybody has any questions, I will answer them.
Yeah, questions or complaints or, you know.
Complaints, I don't know.
You can't answer a complaint. Get out of here.
I can't ignore the complaint.
You paid your $20, you had some food, now get out of here. You don't like the show, who cares?
Rick, it's the best kind of question and answer, because it's the kind of question and answer where the actors, having, you know, done a good hard job, and musicians and June are going to, you know, grab grab a drink at the bar and be hanging out, so you can just go up to them and ask them whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a wonderful thing, too, because I think stage readings are really interesting to me in that, and June, you have ever been, welcoming to other people and other writers and mm-hmm. other impressions, that I think that's a place where a show can grow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? With some other impressions and things, you know, you are June Sawyers, and you're not, it's not a big collaborative effort, but other people have interesting thoughts, too, that might wind up enriching the next stage reading. I want to talk more about specifically the show. Thank you two guys for coming on very much. Sure. Too bad you can't come in the studio anymore, but that's going to change soon. That's going to change soon.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no kidding. It's really hard to just talk on the phone. Reminds me of being...
Yeah, good talking to you, Rick.
Yeah, reminds me of being in, like, eighth grade somewhere. But we'll get some news, and we'll come back, and I want to get, if you can, June, some specifics of the show. I mean, is it... Are Hopper, the Hoppers, two characters sitting in that diner, or do they come into the diner? I want to get that question answered. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys again mm-hmm. for coming on. Don, give the Literary Hall of Fame website again, would you please?
Yeah, it's www.chicagoliteraryhof.org.
Go there, get tickets. It's going to sell. This will sell out. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Welcome back. Next Sunday, in direct competition with this very show, at the Oak Park Brewery at 155 South Oak Park Avenue in Oak Park, there will be what I think is a do-not-miss artistic experience. It's theater, it's music, all of it inspired by the Edward Hopper's famous Art Institute painting called Nighthawks. It's a theatrical meditation on solitude and loneliness. It is the work of June Sawyers in collaboration with Don Evans, who runs the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame. Don, have you seen or heard or read any of this show?
No, well, I've read the script.
Okay.
I haven't seen it at all. In fact, as June was saying before, I don't think anybody has seen it.
Right.
No.
She could tell you more than I can, but
it's the world premiere.
June, when you select such talented people as director J.R. Sullivan, actor Sia Osbourne, and Amy Montgomery, how do you do it? You say, "Hey, you want to do a stage reading?" And they must say, "Well, we might, June, but could we see the script?" Is that how it goes?
Well, I worked with Cy and Amy before, and I also I teach at Newbury, so I first met Cy when I was at Newbury, and I did a piece on Boswell and Johnson, and we got involved with that. That's how I first contacted him, through the help of Gary Houston, the actor, the famous Chicago actor.
Actor-director, so, yeah. Love Gary.
Yeah.
Love Gary.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a word of mouth, and you ask around, and then, so through that, you just... get in touch with somebody, and you hope they say yes.
Let me ask you if you mm-hmm. can, to give the listeners sort of a what's the narrative of the show? It begins and ends with Tom Waits songs, but in the middle, is it the characters in that Edward Hopper Nighthawks Diner come to life?
They do, yeah. They, first of all, it begins with them. They're not speaking, but they're figures in the painting. They should be sitting at a diner, but of course, we're not going to be in a diner.
Yeah,
they
are
on stage reading. But it begins with a musician playing the first Tom Waits song, "Eggs and Sausage," and then they're sort of reading the Stuart Dybeck book. They're thinking about the Joyce Carol Oates book, but then they come to life and they weave the seats. And I guess in this case, Jim Sullivan will figure it out. They stand up, and then they talk to each other. But the basis of it is the set piece, I suppose, is an interview with Ed and Joe Hopper, and that leads to the Hopper talking about how he was inspired to create Nighthawks. And he denies that it has anything to do with loneliness. You know, that's just
right.
All these interpretations of it, And in the end, he probably just said, you know, he just said, you know, it's just a painting. At the end of the day, it's just a painting, you know. But also his thoughts are in there because it's based on biographies of him, interviews with him, and my own take on what he may have said.
That's very interesting. Don, did you enjoy reading? Did you, when you read the play, did you immediately see it also?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've read a couple of incarnations of it. One was a little earlier on, and then one was an update. And, yeah, there's a certain, you know, magical quality to it that I think June has done a really good job of capturing the essence of what you see at the painting. Mm-hmm. By the way, you know, when you were talking earlier about asking June, you know, when's the first time she saw it, I think as Chicagoans we get spoiled because we can go and see Edward Hopper's work anytime we want, and we forget that sometime, and we get lazy. And one of the things I loved about the fact that June was exploring this in a bigger way was that it reminds you of these great opportunities we have in Chicago. You know, I was doing a little bit of research in, you know, doing a little bit for the program we're going to have that we'll give away at the door to everybody that comes. But and it was interesting. The Art Institute bought that painting in 1942. You know, the year it was completed for $3,000.
Yeah, I know.
Quite a deal, eh?
Yeah, good deal. Good deal.
Good deal.
You know, now people are buying these computer-generated NFTs or whatever they're called for, you know, $65 million. I have ever loved that painting, too. And it kind of, I find it a really haunting painting. It's one of those paintings where you do say to yourself, wow, I wonder who these people are, why they're here, what they are all about. I mean, I think...
Right, and you can make up your own story.
Of course.
It can be whatever you want it to be, right?
Yeah, of course. I think it's a really brilliant, brilliant, wonderful, wonderful idea, you two. And I wish I could be there, but I'll be on the air.
This
is no fair. Wait a minute. This is no fair. What do you two do? Do you have any sense of this show perhaps having life beyond the stage reading?
Well, Jim Sullivan the director would love to do a full production at some point, and ideally it should be in a diner, in a real diner. And that was the intent behind this, but we had to start somewhere and, you know, see how the stage reading goes and go from there, hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I admire the two of you tremendously. Don, what's going on? How's everything at the Literary Hall of Fame? You got any plans coming up? Any events coming up?
Yeah, we've got a really full and rich fall-winter schedule, part because last year, during the pandemic, everything we had on the calendar was wiped out.
Sure, sure.
And so, you know, with our induction ceremony, which goes to historical authors, with our Fuller Award ceremonies that go to the best living writers, we're kind of doubling up this year.
Oh, good.
So we're going to honor... So on September 30th, we're honoring... Reginald Gibbons with our Lifetime Achievement Award.
That's great.
September 19th is the induction ceremony, and then we've got Luis Alberto Urrea getting a Lifetime Achievement Award at the National Museum of Mexican Art in October, late October.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, to find out more about the Literary Hall of Fame and to get tickets to this August 1st, theatrical evening at the Oak Park Brewing Company, just go to chicagoliteraryhof.org and you'll find all the information you need. You two, it's great to talk to you. It'd be better to see you, but I
next time.
I ever admire your you know, workaholism, both of you, and your junior prolific nature. I hope this is a smash, because then perhaps I could get to see it sometime when I'm not on the radio.
And you could take some solace, Rick, in the fact that we're only going to steal 70 of your radio audience members on that Sunday.
That's right. Well, as long as I have 70 members of this radio audience who have $20 that they want to spend wisely, I'd be thrilled. You two, June Sawyers, Don Evans, take care of yourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Anytime.